Hey, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend fans, we are back for another week. This week, we finally get to go to Raging Waters after what seems like forever of talking about it. Greg really isn't all in, and Rebecca's kind of having some regression. We're going to talk all about it in just a second.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Quest, get it. She stole his brand for this.
I like that she had a British accent, too.
Look at this. Get it. Okay. All right. Let's go. Hey. Hey.
Yeah. I love this song.
I honestly forgot this song.
Special request. He was listen, jamming earlier.
Tehran was so adamant that we opened with this song.
I have no voice right now, but I will tell you this, that song was amazing. And I know you're going to ask us our overall thoughts. This was amazing. That's all I'm going to say.
Done.
Thank you guys for joining us here today for Crazy Ass Girlfriend. I know the Super Bowl is on, so some of you may not be live, but we appreciate you whether it's live or not. I am your host, Brianna Phipps, and I am joined by my two beautiful men with me as always, except for Nino, you weren't here last week.
Sorry
but
about
you're
that.
Back.
I'm back. I'm back, a little hungover, but I'm okay. It was my birthday. Thanks for the well wishes. I know some of you guys DM me. I appreciate that. It's your boy, Nino, and I'm ready to talk about this because I really like this episode.
He actually went on a Rebecca binge.
I did. What I did.
Three drinks in, he was gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
That's what he's not even Jewish.
I'm not even Jewish.
That's what happens as you get older. The less drinks hits you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm Tehran, but I just want to let you know. I'm not sad. You're sad. I'm not sad. You're sad.
So this week we got a regression from Rebecca. She kind of fell backwards in her therapy and in her development with her BPD. Paula is having also not
issues.
Taking issues. She's not taking care of herself. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk all about that. Plus, we're going to get into our Rebecca Bunch crazy meter later in the show. We're going to talk about the songs as well as some news that just got dropped on us too. So you're going to want to stick around for that. But before all of that, and I know you kind of already said it, but what was your overall thoughts on the episode?
Love this episode. This was the meat that I wanted. I know you guys talked about last week. You felt like last week was a filler, and I felt the same situation. I felt this one had substance. It was good. I dug it. I loved the song. I loved his favorite song as well, too. The Bruce Springsteen, I Hate Everything. A lot of emotions. I dig it.
This episode was okay.
Yeah.
I've seen better, episodes that were filler. This is exactly what every episode needs to be the last season.
Amen.
It pushed along the plot line. Mm-hmm. It was juicy. It was good. Even the songs were amazing. All three songs were pertinent, important, fun, good. Darkness. I don't even like Darkness. I don't even like Looking Under My Bed. It was a great song. Bruce Springsteen. Who is that? It's freaking Rockstar. That's who. And it was just great. And I'm Not Sad, You're Sad. It's like, it was captivating.
It's your anthem.
It was, here we get the Rebecca who we've known. These are character developments. We get a heart attack. Paula dies. Spoiler alert, Paula dies. Sure, she makes it to the next episode. She's dead on the inside, okay? I'm not sad. You're sad.
I think this is the episode we've been waiting for, that we've been wanting and saying we've been wanting. 100%. So I'm glad we've got it. I'm hoping that we continue along this for the future episodes as well. I love that they showed her kind of falling backwards, because it would have been so unrealistic for her just to keep getting better. Because in anything, whether it be drug addiction, alcohol, there's usually a fall off. We've seen it with Greg too. He had fall offs before. So I'm glad that they did that with her as well.
We mentioned this. We predicted it a couple of weeks ago, saying that this is probably going to happen. When it's going to happen, hopefully soon. And I'm glad it did.
We said exactly at Raging Waters.
Did we say exactly at her Paris?
I forgot that they actually filmed at Raging Waters. She did tweet out about it, because she tweeted Raging Waters, like being like, how can't we film there? Like something like that. And then they let her film there because all of her fans kind of backed her on it, but I forgot that they did. So
great promotion.
And they've talked about Raging Waters like
from the get.
I think every single season so far they've had a Raging Waters mention, so it only makes sense to actually eventually visit there. So I was glad that they did that as well. But let's get into it. So with Rebecca and Greg's storyline, so we start off where Greg's kind of telling her, we haven't really been taking things slow.
Yeah, they're spending every single minute together.
But he seems kind of okay with it, doesn't he? I'm like, he's not saying
sad.
It.
You're sad.
He seems like, okay because he just wants it to be okay, but I don't think he's really okay with it. He's sad. He's mad. He hates it.
It's not that he hates it. Everyone needs space. Everyone needs time. Greg's working on himself as well. Let's not forget that just because he seems so put together and we like this new actor and how he looks and his hair never, ever, ever moves. It's amazing. Like, he was in Raging Waters, came out, and his hair was still perfect. He's just so likable. He's such a likable guy. Even when he's clearly being the, like, Debbie Downer, he's still so likable. I'm like, hey, Rebecca, be nice to him. Like, it's just so good.
Yeah. Well, I think these scenes that we got this episode with him and her kind of really showed that he's had years where he's been going to the meetings, getting help.
Consistently.
And she's kind of in the beginning of it because he's very much more equipped to handle these things.
Yeah, he's done it consistently and he knows that there's going to be fallbacks. And with her actually hitting her problem head on just this last season and this season or whatnot, like you said, she's super new to it, thinking that she's okay and everything's fine because she's now in this beautiful, you know, serene utopia.
She also hasn't murdered anyone lately, so.
Right.
Or attempted to murder anybody.
Exactly.
So that's a good sign. She's making progress.
She's living this utopia because Greg and her are happy right now.
Well, then she makes the decision because she's in this utopia and she loves Raging Water. It's her Paris. We've heard this from her before and forth that she really wants to go. He kind of lets her know right from the get-go, it's not my thing. But he goes anyway for her because she wants to go so badly. And we kind of also find out that she hasn't been going to therapy, that she hasn't been going to group, that she hasn't been doing the workbooks. And everybody's a little worried about her.
Yeah.
As they should be. A lot of people don't realize it's almost like when you're sick. And I know, like, my voice is raspy right now. I lost it. But when people are sick, they take medicine. And as soon as they start feeling better, they stop taking their medicine. Right. No, there's a reason why there's 20 pills in that prescription bottle. You need to take all 20. It's because it'll continue. And even though you feel better, you can go right back to feeling sick. It's not over. You're just out of the dark water, deep waters right now. And Rebecca isn't perfect. Obviously, you know, every week we keep her crazy meter to the point where at 1 week we're like, why do we even have this anymore? Right. Well, this is the thing. She's holding it back. She's repressing a lot of things. She's not getting into the good habits she was building. She's forgoing all her therapy. And that's not a healthy place to be. And I don't know if Greg and her make it. I don't know if they make it after this. Because if I'm Greg, I'm like, I'm dealing with my own stuff. And now you're doing this.
I was saying the same thing. And we're probably going to talk about this in predictions later. I don't want her to be with anyone after this, at the end of the season, later on.
I mean, I do. I actually wanted her to be with all three. I wanted her to go with Greg, and then go to Nathaniel's, and hook up with
Monday,
Nathaniel,
Wednesday, Friday, and then Tuesday, be like,
what's up, Josh? You live here. It's convenient, bro.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that it's very telling, though, for him to kind of throw those things out to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the way she reacted to them. Because the way we've seen Rebecca react lately has been very mature, has been very like, wait, let me take a second, let me think. And in this episode, we got a lot of reaction.
Yeah, because she usually gives a little bit of crazy, then she backtracks and she does the right thing. This time, she went in that whole spiral situation.
She gave herself to the crazy.
Well, she gave herself to the crazy.
Well, let's get into the reason why she kind of started spiraling. Yeah. So she went to her Paris, and I told this to you before the show, but I don't think whatever Greg did, unless he was 150% on board with every single thing at Raging Waters, that she would have been happy with his reaction.
Yeah, she was upset. And on top of that, she didn't understand the value that Greg is saying. I don't like anything but you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Well, and it shows a lot, too, because I've been in the situation before where I had really high expectations for going to, like, a theme park with a significant other, and it didn't turn out the way.
I told you, I'm sorry. Why do you bring that up every time you get a chance?
Look, you never actually said sorry.
Listen, let me explain to you. Williamsburg is not an amusement park, okay? I don't care about people just dressing up like George Washington. As a black person,
Mom,
that brings me back bad memories.
Mom, Dad.
But the thing is that she had really such high expectations for it that, and he had told her, he was so upfront with her, like, I'm not into this, but I'm going to go for you.
Yeah.
And then
he had a whole song about it.
But even before then, he's like, okay, I'll go for you. And then it was like, okay, I'll go on a ride for you.
You could tell he was being reluctant, but he still went.
Mm-hmm. And unless he was like having the best time of his life, just mm-hmm. like she was going to be upset by it. Yeah.
In your situation, when it didn't work out the way you wanted to, how did you react?
I mean, I was upset with it at first. And then when I had more time to think about it, I was like, that's because my expectations mm-hmm. were higher than what they should have been. Like, I can't force someone else to have an experience that I want them to have.
But that yeah. happens all the time. Have you ever, like, been watching a movie and mm-hmm. the other person's not paying as much attention? You're like, yo, this get is it. The point. Pause it. Oh, you're going to the bathroom? You need to use the bathroom now?
Right.
You know, oh, we just used the bathroom?
Yeah. Right. When that's we introduce what you do? Someone to something that we yeah. love, we want them to have the same exactly. reaction that we mm-hmm. have. But that's just not life. Yeah. It's not going to happen every time.
That was like me watching movies with, like, my parents when I was younger. And then they would ask questions every single time because they weren't paying attention. I'm just like, you're not loving this as much as I am, and I want you to. Yeah. I really want you to. But like you said, you can't force anybody to do it, but you also have to listen to what they're trying to say and what they're trying to
not legally. To show you can't force
anybody. Not legally.
I learned that, and it's actually, I guess, tying to a chair is illegal.
But if she had focused more on the fact that he was trying and he was making this exactly. effort for her.
If she saw all those signs and whatnot, and he specifically told her.
Would you have appreciated it, honestly? Put yourself going? Sure.
I mean, I think not in that moment, but I think looking back on it, if someone from the get-go tells you this isn't my thing, I don't want to go, you should go with your friends then. Yeah, go with people that are going to have fun. Just don't go with the person that's going to put... Because exactly. it does suck to go to something that you love and the other person's not having fun because then you're not having fun.
Yeah, exactly.
But then just don't go with that person.
Right, but your reaction was way different from hers afterwards because hers...
My reaction wasn't even like hers in the moment. Yeah. It was like I was let down, but then after like one day, I was like, okay.
Yeah, because she acted like such a brat the way she handled it. Mm-hmm. Because it's not only was she a brat about it, she's trying to make him feel bad about it. Like, you just hate everything you don't. And I understand this is maybe a projection of her BPD. Because mm-hmm. I'm not sad, you're sad. But the concept was she made him feel bad about it. Like, and here he is trying. And one thing, Greg was extremely patient. He never got angry. He never got frustrated. He never got mad. He tried. He even went on a ride after saying, I don't go on rides. I don't go on rides.
But I'll do this.
But I'll do that.
You want me to.
Exactly.
And I think that goes to show you how his progression is with his therapy and the groups that he goes through and whatnot. I think that's made him that type a better person.
Well, and I like that he kind of lays that out for her. He's like, look, I'm not drinking anymore. Yeah. I'm not punching walls anymore, but I'm still me. Yeah. I'm still who I am.
I'm still Greg, man.
And you can't, if you're not okay with that, mm-hmm. then you're not okay with me. And he like lays out too. He's like, have you been going to therapy? I don't, like, if I don't go to these meetings, I start getting self-conscious about things. Mm-hmm. And I start taking things personally because I don't have an outlet.
Yeah.
And then instead of her being like, oh, yeah, you know, you're right, she blows up and, like, kind of...
Which is great. I love that for the storyline because then that shows people who are going through this whole situation or whatnot that there are going to be those moments and you're going to have these slip-ups and you're going to have people trying to reach out to you and you're not going to take it. But at the end of the day, hopefully something will come around and it'll all come together or whatnot. So it's cool that they actually... portray it the way they portrayed it versus...
Well, for her, she didn't... it didn't come all back together right away for her. And she didn't figure it out. She went, drank three drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Got very drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Nathaniel's house.
Man, when she turned that corner and I saw that brick wall and the 37, I was like, oh, here we go.
And she proceeds to try to...
I'm not sad, you're sad.
And then she gets rejected.
Yeah.
Does Nathaniel... she, though?
By Nathaniel?
She doesn't really get rejected. What I think is she gets respected. And I think people need to understand the difference of that.
True. I like that.
Because the one thing, Nathaniel, this is something that he wants. Something that he wants her. Mm-hmm. But then when he sees this, he's like, no, you need to go. And that takes a level of not only just self-control, but self-awareness that I didn't know Nathaniel had until this episode. Mm-hmm. So these changes that Nathaniel's been actually going through is... something that's relevant and is very real. Why? Because the old Nathaniel might have taken advantage of the situation, but this self-aware Nathaniel, the one who's self-respecting mm-hmm. and respects others and respected her in that moment. Like, I like you so much, I won't do this.
Right.
I like that. That's
a lot, actually.
But in her mind, it was still a rejection.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, because it was. Definitely. I mean, boom, blocked. Like,
let me call you an Uber. You go in there
like, yo, I'm drunk.
This is classic Rebecca. I don't get what I want in one thing. I go to another place. I don't get what I want with that. I'm going to go to another place because I need that validation. And so she goes to Josh.
Same situation.
Same situation. Starts giving back rubs, starts trying, and then also gets respected. Well, I'm going to use that.
No. Josh was self-serving. Josh is like, yo, we're
for
roommates.
A minute. Yeah, he's like, he retracted and respected.
Yeah, because he's like, whoa, we're roommates. This is not a good idea. And he kissed back. Nathaniel pushed off the kiss completely.
But I still think there was Josh a level kissed of... And then but there's still a level of respect because a different Josh would have still...
Oh, yeah.
Taking advantage completely.
I think both of those characters would have still season two.
But then Josh would have still blamed her afterwards.
Yeah, Josh. Yeah. I don't feel like Josh would have done it, but the old Nathaniel would have.
So she goes through all these things, and then she kind of comes to that realization after Josh has that talk with her that...
I'm not sad, you're sad.
I do have some... Like, I need to go to my groups and stuff, and she goes straight to her... and I'm blanking on his
Dr.
name.
Dr. Shin.
Shin, Dr. thank Shin. You. And what has been told to her before by... Dr. Copian is that we think it's time to explore medication at this point.
Yeah.
And she 100% does not want to because she associates medication with these sad, dark times in her life.
Yeah, but they were probably the wrong medication for her because she didn't have a diagnosis at that time. So, which is another great social issue to talk about. When people think of depression pills or antidepressants or whatnot, it's such a negative stigma to the situation because people feel like I'm on antidepressants, then I'm going to take these other things, and I'm just going to go spiraling down a hole that I'm never going to get out of or whatnot. But when the doctors start talking about we could fix your prescription, we have a way for it to work out for you in your favor, as long as we know that it's borderline personality disorder. When they didn't know, they were just giving her pills.
Well, and it is a thing where now we've come a long way.
A long way.
Where it did used to be that it was almost like, let's numb you.
They used to give you ecstasy at some point. Like,
there's a great musical called Next to Normal out there that it's just that. It's like, there's this whole song where she's taking all these different pills. They're trying different things. And then when she says she doesn't feel anything, that's when they're like, okay.
That's the one. Yeah.
And that used to be the norm. It was like, because if someone's suicidal, if someone's super depressed, like having them feel nothing is better.
Than having them have crazy thoughts or whatever.
But, yeah. But
that's
come...
how I feel about Rent Live, by the way.
A little plug that
not having it at all would have been better.
But we've come such a long way that now at least good doctors don't do that. They are actually trying to find ways to help you cope in your normal life while still being yourself.
Yeah. I had a recent with my ACL surgery. I was actually taking pain pills and I was supposed to take them for 2 weeks. And after the first day or two, I just couldn't. I did not like the way they made me feel. And I was ready and willing to just have the pain and not take pain pills because we forget medication isn't always just, oh, look, I have a headache. I take a pill and now it's gone. Mm-hmm. The side effects are horrible sometimes, how they make you feel, especially when you're talking about therapeutic medication. Some of those are very powerful medications that can make you feel horrible. And I can only imagine what she's gone through taking wrong medication after wrong medication, not feeling like herself, feeling like a zombie.
I think it was PTSD for her, after all the different types she's had. I mean, I would be scared too after remembering the effects that it's brought, it's given me and the things that I did wrong while I was on medication. Plus she had that suicide attempt on the plane.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a traumatic experience for her with these before. So I understand her reluctance, but, and that's why it's so important to be honest with your doctor about how you're feeling on these medications and so they can readjust them. But she's very against it at this point, and she kind of just walks out of the room. She's not going to deal with this.
Yeah.
So, before we get to the end of her story, though, I do want to shout out all of our fans that watch us every week. We really appreciate you guys. You guys help us do everything that we love to do here. But some ways that you can help us back, too, in a little bit more way is commenting on our videos, commenting on our iTunes, giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes, giving us that thumbs up and subscribing to our YouTube. It really does help not just our channel, but our network as a whole. If you watch sci-fi, Tehran Does Young Justice and Supergirl, that channel is great too. Go whichever ones you watch, go ahead and like those ones and comment below. We love hearing from you guys. AfterBuzz has created such a great community for all of us to come together, be able to talk about these shows, but also I think to kind of have these lifelong friendships that we've been able to create through here as well.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, first time, first chance when I leave here, I don't know any of you, but yeah,
No, this it's been great over here. So we would love for you guys to go ahead and share, help us keep this going by subscribing and letting us know how we're doing, basically.
Especially talk every show that I'm on, please.
And he's on a lot of shows, guys.
Five stars and leave a good comment. And if you don't want to leave a good comment and you want to say negative things, well, then don't.
DM him.
Don't do that. Just don't do that. Don't DM. Be that bad. No one likes that guy. No one. No
but
one likes.
Seriously, guys, we really do appreciate it. And you help us do what we love to do every day. And keep doing that and keep being a part of our conversations.
I'm not sad. You're sad.
Let's get into Paula's storyline. Because mm-hmm. Paula's also kind of going through this whole thing where she's, and I see this all the time, a lot of times with women, but also with men, where I don't have time to take care of myself. I need to go. I need to do all these things because nobody else can do it. And that's kind of where Paula's at. She's not going to let anybody else do all of these millions of things that she has to be in the corner to do. She's going to take it all off instead, even if it means killing herself, basically.
Yeah, you know, I feel like this might be a play on Rachel's actual life because she co-writes, she produces, and she directs sometimes. She does all this stuff for the show, and it's just ongoing. Imagine for four seasons, just ongoing. I feel like that's
she
almost
actually
like
had a heart attack is a little known.
Just stop it.
Stop it. It was actually written into the show.
But yeah, I'm just like, I think like it mirrors her pretty well, and how they showed that, and how Paula just, I mean, she has a lot going on.
Yeah.
Especially
I mean,
with the
bar.
She's
studying for the bar. She's trying to still take on all these cases that were Rebecca's mm-hmm. for doing free of charge. She is still doing her normal paralegal job, as well as being a mother at home, mm-hmm. as well as taking care of her husband. She's got a lot.
Yeah.
I think, okay, the past couple episodes, Paula has been so pointless that I was just glad. I mean, yeah, she had to die for us to care. But I needed Paula back. Like, I like Paula.
We all love Paula.
Paula's such the mom on the show. And for her to have been gone for so long, it was like, why are they doing this to us? And now they brought her back. And it's relevant. And it's real. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They didn't just say heart attack. The best part was they began it with the diagnosis of menopause, which is something that a lot of women, especially in that mid-range age, because you're thinking menopause is something that happens to your grandmother. But no, it's something that happens and it can begin as early as in your 30s. And it's something that a lot of us women don't discuss. We don't talk about these things, about going to the gyno and people just suggesting
but
it.
It also
I like
brings,
that conversation
yeah.
they had.
It
yeah.
also brings up the, which I've done myself, not to this extent, but where you come up with excuses, like you feel the pain
yeah.
or you're
but you'll take
going
care of
through
it later.
This. Yeah, or you throw it out, oh, it must be this, it must be that.
Uh-huh.
It's nothing that I have to go to the doctor for
right.
until you have to go to the
self-diagnose yourself until you're in the ER.
Yeah, if you WebMD, like
you
every week you're dead. Yeah, you're dying. So, like, the fact that they brought up and the symptoms. First of all, I didn't understand how no one just thought it was the flu. Like, yo.
Because she was like, she was overheating. She had a fever. Well, she was sweating.
But I think that it was her actions. It was her saying, I've got a lot going on.
Sure, but someone should have been like, oh my God, don't get me sick.
They've
you're
been
sick.
Seeing
people are just normal
pills.
Around her.
They've been seeing her drink these huge cups of coffee. Mm-hmm. I think they're just thinking she's tired. She's worn
no,
out.
I would have been like, she's like, hey, I would have been like, don't touch me. You're the Ebola virus right now. Like, please don't touch me. So the fact that they jumped to menopause to heart attack was, I thought they should have started out with like
something,
a disease. Like, oh, you have, you know, TB, something.
TB.
You know.
Something small.
Well, they what? Did. I mean. That's the thing. I thought it was going to be something, but it jumped right to milky white throw up and heart attack.
But, well, I mean, thankfully she has Scott, because Scott yeah. makes her go to the doctor.
Love Scott.
Was this his last
this
episode? This
is his last episode, yeah.
That's crazy. That,
he
just
tweeted
end,
out that this was
they're going to end him just like that.
He that's died. He dies. He actually literally died.
Why?
But
he makes her
no
go,
Scott,
and then
though?
We find oh, no. out. That it's this that she's had, like the doctor's like, I'm pretty sure you're having a heart attack. And we found out that she had a blockage for 18 hours that she was walking around with.
Right.
Yeah.
And then she gets put on a very strict diet.
Mm-hmm. Salads.
Salad.
And a rest.
Without potato in front of it.
Also, when Rebecca was like, oh, but you can have croutons and bacon bits, I was like, I'm not sure that's the kind of salad that the doctors want her to be
no,
eating
definitely
right
not.
Now.
Croutons,
yeah.
No.
I don't think they want her to add the unhealthy things yeah. you can add to salad.
Yeah. We're not dripping ranch all over this
no.
situation.
It's probably like...
You're not eating a pizza salad? No,
it's not. It's like oil and vinegar, maybe the littlest amount of salt because you don't want a lot of salt.
No oil.
She had an 18-hour blockage.
You're right, vinegar would be
salt. No,
so what dressing is she putting on this?
There's lemon.
There's no dressing. There's lemon juice.
Lemon
and
juice.
And here's the thing about this. There's a lot of things also in that salad that she cannot have. And those are the things that people don't realize, the health restrictions that come along with not only just age, but when you have these situations, mm-hmm. people need to realize that there are communities that are prone to having problems with high cholesterol and that lead to heart attacks. And heart attacks are not a joke. And Paula was very lucky because she was at the right place at the right time. 18-hour blockage is a long time.
Somebody would have died.
People have 10-minute blockages and end up hemorrhaging and dying. So this is something we need to talk about more because we as a society never want to talk about ailments. We don't want to talk about sickness. We don't want to talk about death. We change the channel even when these things are brought up in a non-comedic way because we don't want to face our own mortality. Mm-hmm. And Paula, especially a person who work, is a workaholic. Her birds are out of the nest and now she has even less to do, so she wants more to do. She didn't even know how to be in her bed where she's like, oh, they just want me to actually lay here. That's what.
Yeah, she has a problem with vulnerability. You know, she
or not working. It's not even
just
not working.
I think a lot of people do, though.
Yes.
And I think it's a fear because you don't want to feel like you'll become irrelevant. You don't want – it's a nice feeling to think that things can't run without you.
Yeah.
And if you find out they can, I think that's kind of a scary thing to people.
Or like when you know that something's wrong with you and you know that there's going to be some sort of diagnosis or whatnot, you always try to mask it because you don't want to hear it. You don't want to have to deal with it.
It's like the common – it happens all the time. It actually happened, I think, to my great-grandfather where it's like – you put off going to the doctor because you don't want to hear the bad news.
Yeah.
And like for my grandfather, it ended up being an ulcer and it killed him because he didn't go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
And it would have been something so simple to fix, but he was so afraid it was cancer that he didn't go.
Yeah. My dad did the same thing. He had like this 103 plus fever for 3 days straight. And I remember calling him saying, you need to go to the doctor. He was like, no, I'm okay. It's gone now. Like 4 or 5 days in.
Yeah.
ER, sepsis attack. Like, he was just like, oh, no, I'm okay. Everything's fine.
Yeah, right. Especially when you have insurance. Like, utilize. That's why you have it. I understand you don't want to hear this news, but it's important. Your health is important. Like, if you don't have insurance, like, I remember when I didn't have insurance and I went there and they were like, oh, you have cancer. And I was like, can't afford cancer. So they just changed it to cold. That was... They just told me I had a cold after that and that was fine.
No, but it is a real thing, too. Yeah. Like, with insurance, even if you have insurance... The hospital stay, if you have to be overnight, like it's so expensive
because
insurance
does. They were like, she needs to stay there for a couple of days, and I was like, what is that bill?
And if an ambulance, like if she had taken an ambulance, like it's people don't go because they can't afford it, and it's like death almost is better to them than having to pay these bills.
It's cheaper. There's been times where, you know, I'm not saying I want to die, but I've been broke enough where I wanted to get into a little fender bender where it wasn't my fault. And I could just ask the guy, like, oh, I'm fine. Can I get that insurance?
He's going to try to retract this, like, 10 years later.
But it is it's a serious thing, and it is something that I'm glad they talked about, and it is something to know. Like, you can't eat donuts every day and just be unhealthy. Like, it is
you
something.
Can't pound,
that's what I
you
do,
know.
But thanks.
You can't pound all that excess.
I mean, you can, but there's probably going to be ramifications at some point in your life because of it.
Right. And here it is.
I mean, it's even...
I lost
and it's
voice.
Not just people that are overweight that have to, like, think about it. It's like there's so many people that are very skinny that eat terribly.
Okay, stop looking at me, okay? I eat not the best, but... It's delicious. And when I die, I'll understand.
Well, I just wanted to bring up because it is a stigma, I think, in especially our culture, that if you're thin, you're healthy. And that's not always true.
Right. That's not always true.
And especially, like, you're looking at Paula, her character, like, the actress actually has been losing weight this season. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to have it happen at a time where she's actually probably...
At her healthiest.
And then that kind of makes Rebecca, because Rebecca's by her side, and she's kind of like... I need you to take care of yourself. Thank like, I can't goodness. Lose you. And that kind of makes her think,
there's
I need
to take care
of myself.
There's the parallel right there. Right. Exactly. She's like, you need to take these pills. You need to take your time and whatnot. And then it just brings it back to her. And
you have to do what the doctor says, even if you don't like what he's saying.
And it's always easier to give this advice rather than taking it. So it's nice to see that she actually took her own advice.
What would have been crazy is if they were like, the cause of this was Rebetzels. Do you eat Rebetzels every day?
I was going to say that she flawlessly stepped into this like ownership job where she just has no issues really being an owner and boss.
Oh yeah, there's this whole episode where Betzels wasn't talked about at all. Like nothing came up.
She wasn't even there. She's so high up now. She makes so much money.
Yeah.
But then we kind of get to the end of the episode where she lets Greg know, I do need a break.
Yeah.
I need some space and I'm sorry. And then she opens up her workbook. And so she takes her medication. So we know she's now realized that it's not just a steady incline. You can, and once you feel better, you can't just like stop doing everything.
Mm-hmm. You're always gonna have to progress all the time.
Do either of you guys have anything else you want to add on this episode before we get into our segments?
You know what I think we really should talk about? I'm not sad, you're sad. Can we talk about that in any moment?
We will in our
I'm
segment.
Just waiting for us to talk about something important.
Excited.
Which is how good this episode was, how it actually was relevant, and how every episode they could have had this season should have been, could have been, and would have been like this had they just given it the time that they needed to.
Let's get into it.
We've gotten there. So let's get into these songs for this episode. So our first song that we get is this Bruce Springsteen, I Hate Everything But You from Skylar Astin.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of this song?
Yeah, I hate everything but this song. Listen, it's a good song. It was cool. I'm not set yours.
I like this song. I like that it was a little bit more theatrical, because a lot of things that they've had have been really just, like, not dumbed down, but it's been a little bit more quiet, or there hasn't been too much of crazy antics or whatnot. This is in a water park.
He's having a concert for her. And I know you love this song, Brie.
It wasn't my favorite of the episode, but I did like it. I liked that it paralleled kind of the I could if I wanted to, in a way.
Okay.
It's still that angstiness.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, I really personally related to the song because
I
do feel like I get annoyed by a lot of things.
What of this song? Like, was there one standout thing that he hated that you're like, oh, one-liner?
I don't know. He did a lot of things.
Because I hate shampoo and conditioner mixed together.
Oh, like it's a two-in-one
thing.
Yeah. Well, he says that. He said a lot of different things that he hated.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. What was the one that stood out to you guys?
I don't know if there was one.
He mentioned something about phone calls, and I hate phone calls. But that's the only...
Well, you hate getting on the phone?
Yeah. I hate when people call me.
Do you hate when white girls call their engagement rings bling?
Yes. That's actually a thing. That's a good point. That's a good one. I actually agreed with most of the things that he hated. I don't hate amusement parks. They're fun.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go, especially if they're crowded. That would annoy me. But like the lines and all the stuff. I mean, I really agreed with most of the stuff. And I thought it was really sweet. He said, I hate everything but you.
Yeah.
Like, I hate everything but you. And for you, because I like you so much, I'm willing to do stuff outside of my personal comfort zone.
It was basically him screaming, saying, I'm here for you and I want to be here for you.
Yeah, and it was a very nice way to do it. And my personal thing, like, if I'm in a relationship, I hate everything. And even the person, like, I'm like, I'm not willing to do anything outside of my comfort zone. So for him to have done it, I thought was a lot. Maybe that's why I make such a big deal of the fact that he did something he didn't like to do.
I mean,
because I rarely do things.
I thought it was a good song, and I think that they did a great job of the Bruce Springsteen feel.
Oh yeah,
down from the outfit.
Look, yeah,
yeah.
I love that he actually couldn't play the guitar. It was funny, but it was also really good. And then let's get into our next song, which was.
Say it.
I'm not sad. You're sad.
She stole his looks, his whole brand image.
I love this song.
That is you right there on the screen right now.
It was so fun. She made it very English Euro pop. She based it on this whole like Spice Girls, Iggy Azalea, like every single one of them that
mixed together.
And then the I Sniff Ibuprofen.
That surprised me. I was like, oh, that went on a 9 o'clock. What time are they on? 9 o'clock?
Of all the
on
things.
On CW?
They do, nothing. I mean, she didn't actually do cocaine.
I know.
I like the fur jacket look a little better, but just everything like Street Taco. Just get out here.
You love this song.
I think it was a very true song because when you're feeling down, like, and sometimes you twist it and make it anger instead because you're upset. And that's 100% like, you know what? Like, I'm going to show Greg. I'm going to go sleep with Nathaniel and he loves me. Like, and that was, I feel like, the essence of this song.
Oh, yeah.
I just like the chorus. I'm not sad, you're sad. I can actually remember those lines. It was brilliant. It just encompasses so many
Her things. Angst was real.
She cut in the line. Just, it was funny. It was entertaining. It was fun. And this is what I want from
except
these
for,
songs.
Except for Lilo and Stitch. Like, I didn't love that film.
That's the whole point.
You didn't love that film?
No one loves that film.
I thought it's an okay film, but it's not like a standout Disney film to me. I know other people love it.
You're just a horrible person.
I love that film.
Because it's Lilo and Stitch. Like, everyone loves that film. No one loves that film. That's why her making it such a big deal. She's like, yo, didn't you like Lilo and Stitch? She's such a
This moment right thing. Here, though, she turns that corner and I was like, here we go with Nathaniel type situation.
For you audio listeners, it's when she turns into the apartment building area of the music video. And if you guys want to know, when we talk about these, we just have the B-roll of the music video playing in the background. So if you ever just kind of want to see what we're talking about at that moment, shoot on over to our video portion on YouTube and you can see.
Nino watched me dance to the song.
He was excited, let me just say.
I don't get song excited, but just the way the beat was.
You could have been the Super Bowl performance.
Honestly,
the way you were.
This was so good.
And then the last song we had was, you know, The Darkness. She talks about that she needs to go see Tyler. One more ex, and it was The Darkness. It's
Tyler.
Her ex.
Tyler.
It was Tyler. It was her inner demons and her struggle with everything that she's been going through, and it's the struggle of her trying to face that person that this is just surrounding her whole life.
Yeah, it's this person that's always going to be a part of her that she's going to have to fight off her entire life, but she will sometimes give in to.
Yeah, who will most likely never go away with her disorder.
Which is such a great comparison to put it as an ex, because there is those exes that, like,
linger.
Well, it's like they ask people, girls and guys, why do you keep going back to this person when you know it's unhealthy? And that's it. It's like you can't explain it. It's just this person. It's just this thing that keeps drawing you back in, even though you know it's not good for you.
Yeah.
Sounds very personal, Brady.
No, I feel you, though. I feel you.
I'll say this.
That sounds like a Tumblr post.
I didn't like this song, but it was amazing.
You like the context of it?
It was everything about the song was amazing. It was very well executed, very well written, very well thought out, very well done. The lyrics, the melody, everything was just so well done on the song. I would have definitely have liked the song had I liked Unhappiness, or B, had not just heard I'm Not Sad, You're Sad, which is going to be my name.
This is anthem for 2019, I'm Not Sad, You're Sad.
Oh my gosh, I love that song.
But let's get into our next special segment, which is the Rebecca Bunch Crazy Meter.
We could actually have one this time.
We actually have one this time.
Oh, crazy.
Don't mind if I do.
Yes, that is Homer Simpson leading us into our crazy meter. So this is the segment where we give her a rating of 1 to 10 on how crazy we thought she was this episode. This is not us trying to be derogatory in any kind of way. It's literally just because the show is called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Tehran, what do you give her?
I'm going to give her a 2, a solid 2.
You gave her like a 6 last... Or no, you gave Nathaniel.
Yeah,
6. I'm sorry, we gave it Nathaniel.
We're giving her a 2?
Crazy meter.
I'm giving her a 2. I feel like...
smiling.
She may or may not have, you know, regressed back into her old ways, but she's saying I'm not sad, you're sad. So how crazy could she be?
Right.
I give her a 2. She's pretty normal. People go through things. You know, she had a couple too many drinks. She's Jewish.
All right, Nina.
I'm going to add 5 on that and give her a 7. We've seen her do crazier things, but she did spiral back, and she wasn't going to therapy. She wasn't doing all this
question.
Other stuff.
Okay, let's go through the list. Mm-hmm. Did she attempt to murder anyone?
No.
This is not where we're going to... No. We're not going to fight on it. It's everyone's individual things, and we also don't have the time. I'm going to give her a 6, partly because of, like, not going to therapy, like, stopping doing all of the stuff that she'd been working so hard on, but also for trying to sleep with literally 2 people just to feel better.
She paid for Raging Water tickets and the guy didn't appreciate it. You know how expensive those tickets are?
They're not that expensive. They're like $30 a ticket.
$30 a ticket?
Anyway, so that's our... let us know if you guys, in the comments below, what you think her crazy meter score should be for this week and what your favorite song from this week was. We have some news and gossip, though.
Yeah. Let's do it. TV news. So, Josh put this on his Instagram recently. There's actually going to be a concert special directly after the season finale on April 5th. which they're actually filming. It's not going to be live. They're going to be filming it in March, and you can get tickets to it, actually.
And since we only have 6 episodes left, that means that there are going to be some weeks coming up that we will not have an episode if their finale is April.
They're going to be stretching it a little bit. So. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you can go.
This is nothing new, by the way. They've done this. Not this particular one, but they do a live show. They do a tour.
Yeah, they do a tour, yeah.
And this one, they're just going to film this air right after.
This is going to be on the CW. Exactly. You can actually go on thevulture.com. There's a link to it there. They do great recaps also of the show if you want to get a little bit more insiders or whatnot. But at the bottom of that, you can actually click that, or you can go to Vincent Rodriguez's Instagram and click the link there as well, too.
Yeah, so check that out, and we'll be excited to see that on April 5th.
Yeah.
Let's get some predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
You know, I don't know if Greg and Rebecca can make it past this, meaning that Greg might realize that Rebecca's not the best thing for him right now. I think that Nathaniel's growth is going to lead to something possibly happening, and I think that what was your friend's name from last week?
Xavier.
Yeah, his dream of Nathaniel.
He's a big Nathaniel fan.
Yeah, it's going to come true. And I think that Paula dies. Okay, maybe she doesn't die, but.
You don't want her to die.
I want to know why we don't get to see any more Scott.
Yes, me too. I'm sad about the whole Scott thing. If it's a couple more episodes and Paula's sick, I'd expect him to be there. And I'm sad he's not going to be there.
Maybe they're just focusing her workplace more than in her home.
So for my prediction, I feel like it's coming to a situation where I think Rebecca's going to realize she doesn't need anybody at the moment. She really needs to concentrate on herself. So I think towards the end of the season or towards the end of the series, she might not end up with anybody. And she just needs to end up with herself to help fix herself and keep her moving along. And maybe some sort of future area, if there's a spinoff somewhere, maybe she'll be with Nathaniel. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I made that similar prediction last week where I don't think she'll wind up with anyone. But I think for next episode, the preview showed us getting kind of the girl group back together, but in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely getting some more Heather and Valencia next week.
Valencia's still here, or is she going back and forth in New York?
They said that she's here until the end of the season.
That's right, yeah, okay.
Valentine's Day. So I think we're going to, battle in between this Nathaniel Greg thing until the end. And I think they're going to try to do a Valentine's Day special thing for the end, potentially where she that then realizes that she needs to step away from both of them.
And it just needs to be all three of them.
You know, I don't think Josh is even in the picture. He's just in the picture for some penis when she wants it.
There you go.
I'm not sad.
You're sad.
You're sad.
Well, guys, that does it for our coverage of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend for this week. Until next week, where can they find you guys to keep up?
Find me at I Am Tehran all across the board. That's at IAMTEHRAN. Hopefully, I'll have my voice back by the end of the day. I need it by tomorrow. And also, I host a slew of other AfterBuzz shows. Find me.
And you guys, you can catch me at Nino Lanera on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm here every Thursday for the X on the Beach After Show for MTV.
And you guys can find me at Brie, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram. I also just finished the season of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is also another female-driven, very smart comedy. If you want to go check that out, we also have a ton of great comedies. Crashing is another one from HBO. SNL we do. So if you want shows that are like this one, go check those ones out as well. Until next week, though, see you guys later.
I'm not sad, you're sad.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.